It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week.
Well, today, as we are all aware, it's February 16th, 2021. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, founder and president of the Rat Bastards Car Club. Wait.
Ha! Whoa!
Right.
And
nice.
Our producer, Steve Johann, who has now managed to put up with the two of us for 175.
Oh, episodes. I know.
Lord help us. We're on iTunes. We're on iHeart Podcast. We're on Cloud Hub, MeWe, Gab, Spotify, Podomatic, just about every place you can get a podcast. We are there, and we thank you for joining us. Thanks for liking and following our Facebook page and putting up with our silliness every week. Right now, our first segment, as always, is called Back to the Blacktop, and that's where Steve grabs all the cool information about automotive business and stuff that he can find and throws it away and then makes stuff up here in this segment. So what do you got this week, Steve?
Well, first up is that Brady is now into his new home in just north of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. It's what's the township again?
Well, it's Post Falls. It's actually west of Coeur d'Alene by about 5 miles.
There we go.
I'm literally 5 miles, 6 miles from the Washington state line. But yeah, we're in the house. It's wonderful. I won't bore you with the details, but let's just say I got a lot of boxes to unpack.
Yes, you do. And I know you're going to be setting up your pro studio here shortly, so we're looking forward to that. Well, we're going to start out the gates with the recall notice. Mercedes-Benz USA has announced plans to recall 1.29 million vehicles to correct a problem with the vehicle's e-call system, which relays emergency information to responders in the event of a crash. So apparently they've got this little thing you press and boom, it connects. But they're having difficulties with it. So maybe they're not connecting with the responders and other things are happening. So they're going to recall it. That's probably a quick little fix in the dealerships, but we hate to see that. And then here's the latest news. Findings about e-car drivers, taken with a grain of salt, of course, as any of these findings are. According to a study, EV owners apparently spend a lot less time behind the wheel than do motorists who drive conventional gas-powered vehicles. The research data is a bit muddy, they say, making it tough to determine if they drive less because they can't go as far, because of the charge, of course, or they just don't go at all. And I'm thinking, let's put on our thinking cap, guys. Why do you think someone who owns an e-car may not drive as far as someone with a gas-powered car?
Fear.
No.
False evidence appearing real.
Right.
Fear.
It could be that. It could be that they're worried about, of course, the charging distance. It could be that they spent so much money for this cool new car that they don't want to get it out and get it dirty. No.
How about the uncool factor?
There's that. Would you want to be seen in one? Well, some people would.
I think most EV buyers buy knowing that they're not going to go a long distance. They're not, and they may have another car for just that purpose, but they probably didn't ask that with the survey. But we all know, for me and my family, we like road trips. So that means 16 days on the road. I'm not going to do that where I have to charge every so few many hundreds of miles and sit there for X amount of time. I like to 15 minutes, I'm back on the road for another 400 miles. So I think most people who buy them are commuters in around town and short trips. But if they do own another vehicle, it's not an EV, and they go long distances in that one. But that's my take on that.
That's a good question. I wonder how long it does take to charge up one of those electric cars. And I'm not going to drop any names, but what's the time that it takes to say you're just barely make it back into your recharger and you hook it up, and how long does it take to get a full charge? That's a good question. I think that's a good question.
Yeah,
I do too. And I'm thinking you probably do a short, quick charge to get you back home until you plug in, because down at the local Fred and Meyer, they've got the bays and people will actually be sitting there charging. And I'm thinking, are you going to charge for an hour? I don't know what the time is. Maybe something worth looking into in the future. I will do some
research. Don't they have a charger at home when they get the car?
Well, yeah, you plug it into the wall.
With the car?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When they get home, they hook it up to the charger. I wonder how long it takes to charge it before they go somewhere else.
I will do a little research, and next week, folks, I will give you some information on that. Now, here is some automotive industry you may not have heard about, but I find it very interesting. Again, dealing with battery-operated. Now it's coming from the UAW, who seems to be opposed to battery-powered push by government and manufacturers. And here's why. United Auto Workers has reservations about the auto industry's push in electrical vehicles. It has raised them directly with the Biden administration. UAW President Rory Gamble said during a webinar organized by the Automotive Press Association in Detroit recently. Gamble said the union knows technology is changing rapidly and is willing to embrace the shift, but at the same time, the union has a duty to protect our members' standard of living, he said, which is one of the reasons UAW would prefer to learn more about the specifics of their future from the companies such as General Motors. As General Motors has pledged to be carbon neutral by stopping vehicles with internal combustion engines by 2035. Now, I thought the last one was 2030, but 2035. We'd like to see more details, Gamble says, and not be so aggressive. The union is not going to stand in the way of changing technology, he says, but the biggest question is whether the market is going to accept battery electric vehicles.
Aside from how much they cost.
2030, let's see, it's 2021. So if we project out far enough, we add more money into the pot, maybe we'll see 3% of the population starting to drive them by then. Because we know that oil reserves are bountiful right now and will be for the foreseeable
future.
Yeah,
and they were up until about 20 days ago. They were free.
Yes.
But that's a whole separate thing.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
I just looked up how long it takes to charge an electric car. It can be anywhere from 30 minutes to 8 hours, depending on the size of the battery and the length, you know, the amount of charge. But a full, if you're down to the bottom, like Ron said, and you want to charge it all the way back up to the top, can be about 7 hours.
Wow.
So in other words, if you get 300 to 400 miles, which some of these things, I guess, can, you can park it. That's where you're going to stay for the night. And you're going to charge it overnight. And a lot of people, I guess, they drive like that. Me, 500 miles, not unheard of.
Something that's a commuter vehicle.
Yes.
That makes some sense.
Yep.
Because you've got a short run to and from work, and then you plug it in at night. But like Steve was saying, if you're going to take a road trip, it doesn't pencil out at all.
No, and that's probably at the eco level that you're getting the top fuel mileage. If you put it on 70, 75, 80 miles an hour, and you got a fully loaded down vehicle, you're not going to get that kind of mileage. Now, here's some good news. Advanced Auto Parts has said their fourth quarter sales for their stores, this is, ended with a 4% uptick from last year. And I can tell you, I talked with the guys over at O'Reilly. I was talking to their marketing guys not too long ago. And they're all seeing an uptick in sales. Now, let me ask you guys another question. Why do you think there's an uptick in parts companies' sales right now?
Because you can't afford a new car. You got to fix the one you got.
That's number one. Yes, it is.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Number two might be, I've got this old car sitting in my driveway that I want to start working on because I'm not commuting to work anymore. And or I lost my job and now I'm sitting at home with a lot of time on my hands. I can go down to an auto parts store and pick up a refurbished or new and rebuild that car that's been sitting there and my wife's been nagging me about for the last 10 years or 20 for my life. So I'm thinking that's what's going on, and I don't think anything in the foreseeable future is going to change the way things are going. So that's just some positive information there. And then an interesting thing to consider is that I was looking over at Hemmings. And over there, they've got a lot of different cars for sale. There was a 67 Malibu Chevelle with a 650 horsepower motor going for, well, they couldn't get the amount that they wanted. Then there's a Challenger going for about $55,000. It still wasn't going for what they wanted, and it didn't have an original. And they got a Willys going in there for about $55,000. And my question is this, and we're running up to our break, is when you put in money into a car, don't expect to get it out. It's because you want to see that car the way you want it.
It's the mantra of every Harley owner ever.
Thanks for finding out the information on the battery there, Brady.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Coming up on the Windshield View, we got crazycustoms.net guy Eric Silverio. He's going to join us on Horsepower Chrome Rust.
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then DNL may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to restoreyourcar.com. That's restoreyourcar.com.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Attention, men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, and today's guest is Eric Silverio. Is that right?
Perfect.
Silverio? All right.
Pretty good.
Close enough.
He's the founder and creator of Custom Crazy Customs. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
So you guys are in Massachusetts, yeah?
Yes. Yep. Boston, Mass.
So, okay. I mean, because I saw the address on the website, and I didn't recognize the town, but it's close to Boston is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's about probably maybe 15 minutes out of Boston, north.
Nice. You can throw a rock from there.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, we were out there. I was out there with my family. It'll be coming up 3 summers from this coming summer. And we were out there doing the whole old city, old historical sites and stuff. And we came into Boston, spent some time there for the day. And, you know, back in those days, I had just launched the show. And had I known about you, we would have made a point of stopping by and seeing your place. Sure. So
we could have done a live interview.
Yes, indeed.
When I was looking at your website, I like your sort of mantra. It says crazy custom quality custom painting, no matter the size, at a price you can afford. That's very cool. That's painting for everybody. But you do painting, right? What else do you do besides painting?
So we do, we started off doing custom motorcycle painting. Then we got into the antiques and hot rods. Then we started getting into more of the firearms. It's a ceramic coating. Yeah. And we kind of, from there, we went into prototype painting. And then we pretty much paint, we paint a lot of cars, a lot of motorcycles, car parts. Turbo, superchargers, anything high temp.
So what kind of paint do you actually use, Eric?
Pretty much whatever. It really depends on what the job is. I mean, we do anything from House of Colors to PPG, DuPont, Sherwin-Williams. It really depends on what we're doing. Like if we're painting a motor, it's usually DuPont.
Right. Cars. So does affordability enter into what you're going to be painting as well? What customer can afford, or does it matter?
I mean, usually, I try to use the highest quality stuff that we can, because I don't like redoing stuff.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, I try to, everything that we do here, I'm very, very anal about how stuff comes out and what what leaves the shop kind of drives the guys a little nuts, but.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Quality.
I'm mostly into quality and making sure the customer's happy. And
very nice.
Yeah,
well, I'm trying to get return customers. There's no mystery there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, one
I
of the
I want to ask you. Oh, go ahead. When I was going through your website, because you know, we try to learn a little bit about the folks that we talk to, and I saw two things there that interested me. One of them was prototype painting, and I'm going to get with you on that in just a minute. But on your page, there's kind of a little photo gallery of stuff that you've done, you know, samples of your work and everything. And there's a blue cylindrical looking thing sitting on the ground. You can see next to a couple of people's legs. Do you know the thing I'm talking about? It's on like the first page of your gallery. It's a blue sort of a cylinder. It looks like it might unfold and be something. Do you remember what that thing is?
Oh my God.
No, I got to find a picture of it.
Okay.
Because it's just too cool. It's like, I don't know what this thing is, but it's very cool.
Trying to think what it is.
Ah. Well, I'm going to your website right now, so talk with Ron for a second, and I'll find it.
What I was going to ask you is, what are the substrates you work with? You said ceramic coating, and then so talk to about the applications, because I know ceramic is typically for hot applications, where heat applications. So explain the different. Do you do powder coating? Do you what all types of painting do you do?
So pretty much the only thing we don't do is powder coating. We do any kind of wet painting, so powder is more, you know, powder. But doing the ceramic coating, basically, it's a high temp ceramic coating that we put on headers. So the outside's good up to 2,000 degrees, and then we put a thermal coating that a lot of people don't do, is we have a thermal coating that goes inside the headers, so it keeps the outside of the headers about 300 degrees cooler.
I was going to ask about that. I've seen that. And even you can do that within like a stock set of manifolds, like mine. I could say I want to ship it off. I want to have maybe extrude honed or whatever. And then you would put that coating on the inside. Then you put the ceramic on the outside. You got the stock manifolds, exhaust manifolds. But you've got that higher temp. And it's actually better for your fuel for overall even horsepower, right?
Yeah. Yep, it's just burning the fuel a lot more because it's not escaping too. And especially on the hot rods, when you have a small engine compartment, like say like a 33 Ford or 32, it's keeping it $300 per header. So you've got about 600 degrees that's keeping it cooler.
It runs cooler, yep. I have my headers on my hot rod are ceramic coated inside and out.
Oh, nice.
Runs cooler, yep.
Did you have a 33 or two?
I have a 31, 31 Model A, two-door sedan.
Nice. I got a 33 two-door sedan.
Right on. Yep. Very nice. Yep. Those are cool.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, Ron's is a rat rod, too. So he's got the spider web and the whole bit.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now Brady's got a picture of it. He'll pop it to his green screen maybe for you.
All right.
So
I don't know how to do that, but.
There it is.
Oh, nice. Oh, thanks. Sick.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Well, thanks, bro.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So I found this picture
rattle can.
Yeah. I found this picture I was talking about, Eric. It's on your prototype section. I can't pull it up because you got to protect on your screen. But it's image 4891. It's a JPE. On the first page.
Is it like round? Yeah. So we did that for... Piaggio Fast Forward. So Moto Guzzi owns them.
Oh, okay.
So it was it's kind of like a round ball.
Yeah.
And it's like a, does it
open up? It's one of those Segway kind of a deals. You stand on it and ride it?
No. So actually this is, you actually wear like a bracelet. And if you're saying, say down in Boston, you're going to get groceries, you put the groceries in it and it actually follows you. It's like a little
ball.
Yeah,
that's cool. Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
But you guys painted it. It looks really good. I looked at it. This is something cool. I just don't know what it is. All right. You got me.
Well, and that's something that you were telling me, Eric, when we were setting up the show, is that you do a lot of prototyping and you do a lot of one-ups for companies, and they know you're such a – so they'll take whatever the product and they'll say, Eric, we want you to do this with it. So it's not just, like you said, the automotive or – You're actually got a, you were telling me if you can about the bicycles.
So we got, oh yeah, there it is. Oh, that's a motorcycle we did.
Very beautiful. Very nice.
So how did you get started doing prototype painting? What was the thing there?
It's actually funny. So I got a call one day from a guy, and I actually thought it was one of my friends messing with me. And he said he was from Shark Vacuums Ninja Blenders. So he's like, you know, we got some prototyping that we're doing with vacuums. And I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
He's like, no, seriously, I want to meet. So I'm like, whatever. I'm like, yeah, you know, if it's one of my friends, I'm going to kill him.
Right.
But
you know, just the place to meet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's Italian.
So well, I ended up going down there meeting the guy, and it turned out to an 8-year partnership, but I mean we did all their prototyping. So
that's cool.
So we just from there, people left that company, went to other companies, and then we did you know, like I said, I'm very picky. So
nice. We're going to go back to the second half of that story after a bit. Yeah. Ron, you want to take us out?
Sure. Windshield View will be right back after these few messages from Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Welcome, Eric, to Crazy Customs.
Yeah, Crazy Customs. That's right.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, In the Rough is Enough. Real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked... I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact YouGottaBelieve at YouGottaBelieve.org.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we're back in Vehicle City with a second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. And our conversation, Crazy Customs, painter and founder Eric Silvero. And Eric, we were just talking about your prototyping, how that all happened, and it was like the shark company came to you. Yep. And vacuums, and now it's kind of led into other things. So keep sharing a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it kind of went out to we do a lot of stuff for, I'm sure you know, Boston Dynamics,
right?
With the little spot robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do their painting. We do we've done stuff for Royal Caribbean, Snapchat. We just
Do you have like a gantry system that goes through your shop that you paint them as they go through, or
no? It's actually
how's
just
the process.
We just it's not, believe it or not, it's only four of us here, so we just got a process of how we're doing it. So when we got stuff that come in, we kind of, you know, just schedule everything in, and we just kind of get a process going through.
So you do like you don't actually do the painting in a conveyor line. You do the setup of the actual product, and then it goes to a manufacturer who actually do the painting after you designed it.
So we only do the painting. Right. So with the prototype, basically they will come out with like a 3D printed part that they want to start. Say they want to start selling it. So we'll paint it. It's actually like a model kit.
Okay.
It's like when you were a kid, you get a model. Mm-hmm. So you have to body work it all. You got to prime it, paint it. And so you're making something plastic look as real as you possibly can.
Okay.
And then they bring it to board meetings, or they put it on commercials. Right. And then if everyone likes it, then they start doing bulk order. And then
it's the kind of thing they might take to Shark Tank to see if, you know, they can get an investor to actually produce the thing, make it run.
I see. Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Let me ask you about ceramic coating, because it's kind of a hot topic these days. A lot of people are using it on exhaust systems, like you said, and turbos and things like that. Now, the only name I know in the ceramic coating, I mean, Rohbar is kind of, but Cerakote is the one that gets me. And I'm a gun guy, so, you know, that kind of stuff interests me. But a lot of exhaust systems, like you say, performance parts, heat parts, what's the value of doing a ceramic coating? And let's be real, how expensive is something like that?
Something like, say long tube headers for like a small block, a big block.
Yeah.
For the outside, you're roughly around $300 to $400.
Not bad.
No, it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
That's what it cost to do my Lakeshore pipes on my Model A. It was $300 for both sides.
Yeah. Man, are you Cerakoted, Ron?
What's that?
Are you ceramic coated?
Yes, inside and out. Correct.
Okay.
Yep. It was going to be a lot more than that to have them chrome plated. And way more economical, and works even better because it's on the inside versus just on the outside like chrome.
Yeah.
So it's form, fit, and function. It's really well.
Yeah. The cool stuff too is with the thermal coating. If you have chrome pipes and you want to keep them from bluing or purpling,
oh, there you go, yeah.
You can put that in; it'll reduce the color,
the bluing.
Yeah.
Now somebody asked me when I told them we were going to have you on the show, and they said, "Well, ask him this, because a lot of the people that we deal with, a lot of our car club people, they build rat rods, and you know the idea of a little rust and a little grunge is kind of cool. So, can you do a ceramic coating on a set of headers that looks like it might be rusty or old or worn?
What do you mean, to keep the rust look?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I realize it's going to be ceramic, but can you do it rough as opposed to the most ceramic coatings I've seen are really smooth and great looking?
Like a patina. I think you mean it's like a patina coating.
Yeah, I mean, we probably could paint it like black and then do silver and kind of sand it. Maybe. So it kind of breaks through, but nothing that's really going to look rusty, because basically what you have to do is you have to sandblast it to get a good profile on the metal.
Yep.
And then you coat it, and then some of them you actually have to bake.
Yeah.
The stuff we have is all air dry. But,
nice. And you do, I'm assuming that you guys do all that. And how many square feet have you got in your shop?
We got 3,300 square feet.
Oh, so shop.
You're not doing tons of stuff, but you have to pretty much change over the line. I mean, it's not that, but you kind of have to change over if you're going to do motorcycle frames as opposed to, you know. Pistol.
We just got another spray. Sorry.
No, go ahead. All right.
We have two spray booths. So most of the ceramic, and we do a lot of Cerakote. We actually just actually she's been with us for 2 years. I found her out of school. I was staying nights and training her how to do the ceramic and the Cerakote.
Oh, right.
She's amazing. She's 19 years old.
Wow.
I can't believe the quality that she has.
Awesome.
When you find somebody with an aptitude, you keep them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's unbelievable.
That's great.
And then in the other booth, it's usually me and Billy. Billy, he does a lot of like the body work, fabrication, you know, all the prep. He's unbelievable with his body work. It's insane.
So let's talk about your body work. Now, when I look at what you're doing, I think about paint, but are you doing actual fabrication in there, or do they bring it in and then you prep the body for the paint? How does that work? Because I know some shops, they do bottom up. Others, paint shops, they just bring it in, but you still got to prepare everything, which may mean some fabrication involved with it to get it ready. And then when it's done, it gets shipped back to the builder. How does that work for you?
So most of the stuff that we do, there's some fabrication that we do, but most of the stuff is we'll get it sandblasted, we'll body work it, or we do some fiberglass too. So most of the stuff is body work, paint, wet sand buff, and then we get it shipped out. A lot of the shops around here, they'll send us, say if we're doing a whole build, we just did a 32 roadster. They'll send us the frame. We'll get all that painted. Then all the engine, transmission, and suspension, we'll do in either a ceramic or we'll paint it. We'll give them that so they can kind of keep on rolling on the project.
Nice.
And then we'll get the body in, and then we'll send that.
What kind of a lead time have you got on stuff like that? I mean, if I sent you a set of headers and said, Cerakote them, so what are we looking at turnaround time, roughly?
Right now, we actually got shut down for everyone in the whole shop had COVID.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, it was not good.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not good. So we had a shutdown for 3 weeks. So right now, we get probably 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
But once we start getting caught up, it's about a week to 2 weeks.
Yeah, nice. I mean, the old days of going to work when you're sick, those are long gone because of all the regulations now. It used to be, hey, I got the flu. Okay, you go home, you come back, and off. Now it's like with all whatever is going on, you're like, oh, close down. You got to wait till you go through, get tested. It's a whole different world we live in, which for you guys, it affects you because you're like, well, that's 3 weeks out. No open. Yeah. We're not busy. I got to cover those costs. And so that must be a challenge. Where do you get your, speaking of challenge, where do you get your, you've been in business for how long?
Since 91, so like 20 years.
Oh, very cool. So where do you get all your business? Is it word of mouth? Is it, where does that come from?
Most of it's pretty much word of mouth. Just, we used to do a lot of car shows, motorcycle shows.
Right.
We started doing a lot of advertisement. We do some gun shows, but Facebook, Instagram, what we're doing now.
You know, podcasts are the most effective type of advertising you could. You're gonna blow up here is what's gonna happen.
Perfect.
well what,
but most of it's like word of mouth pretty much.
People, your customer, satisfied customers are your best advertising.
I mean, I try to make sure everyone's happy when they leave, and you know, and with the quality that we have, you know, I'm pretty anal, so I want everything like as perfect as possible.
Yeah.
It kind of drives everyone nuts, but it's just like, you know,
that's so, how it works.
So
the website is crazycustoms.net.
Yes.
.com. And I tell you, anybody, if you go there, if you're watching the show, we're going to put a link of this up, on the page as well. When you go and take a just look at the gallery, and you'll see that being able, and you know, making sure that it's right, that is your best advertising right there, because the work is just speaks for itself. It's marvelous.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, and one of the things you were telling me is you just got a contract to do some bicycles, and explain how that's going to work, because people probably don't understand how things like that kind of work.
You might be able to see it. See that orange pedal bike?
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's a, it's a e-bike. So we're going to be doing about,
e-bike.
So it's electric, has a motor.
Right.
So we're going to be doing about 400 to 500 of them.
Nice.
Some of them are going to be, a lot of them are going to be ceramic. Some of them are going to be custom painted if the customer wants, like, I don't know, say flames on it or a metal flake or something
so
like that.
So are these individual bikes for people, or are they going to be like for a custom business or?
You get a line?
So that's going to be for a business. It's a local business in Boston that's kind of just starting up.
Cool.
But they came down. They liked the work that we did. So they contracted us for about he's still a little bit unsure. It's going to be about $450 to $500. But
nice.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be cool. Hopefully they're not all going to be one color.
You know, those things are, they're hot right now. I mean, people spend between, you know, $1,500 and $4,000, $6,000 for those things. And, you know, it's an investment, of course, but they want them to look nice. I mean, everybody wants to have, you're going to spend that kind of money. You want a good finish and everything. There's quite a number of those things coming out. I think there must be 15 or 16 brands now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely a lot. I think these are going to be going for like around like six or 7,000.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
well, that's expensive, but.
It's a certain demographic you're going after, and they want that cachet. You know, somebody will spend. We were talking off the air that we were, you know, people will spend $50,000 for a custom motorcycle, and so someone that doesn't into motorcycles but wants this nice, really fancy e-bike to show all their buddies and girl whatever, they're going to say, "Look at this, and I've got the new one and that." So, but it helps you out. And again, you it's a local. You said it's out of Boston that they're doing this out of?
Yep, local guy out of Boston. Yeah.
That is so cool. And then so how long does your so let's say you're doing a full body of a car. What is your do you do it by a lot of shops I know, they do it by okay, we're going to pay you on the monthly basis or a weekly basis until you get it done. How does that work when people come in and say, we want our body done, this car done? Do they typically buy it, you know, pay you on a weekly basis until it's done?
Half an hour, the rest on delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a big job, like, I don't know if you saw through our Instagram, we did a 38 Ford. That the guy actually is out of the country he lives. And that one, he, you know, they really, really wanted everything like super nice underneath the fenders, everything. We made all the peaks of the fenders and the roof a lot sharper. Just did a lot of work to that, wet sand and buffed everything. Something like that, that's a real big job, is typically hourly. Is every week to 2 weeks.
Yep,
sure.
Like week to bi-weekly. If it's something like we got a 32 roadster that we're doing now, he kind of has a budget. So it kind of depends on what you want. You know, I mean, I typically like to, you know, I like everything as perfect as we can get it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, it's a lot of hours. So,
sure.
You know, people tend to, you know, try to get it in their budget, which is fine. Well,
yeah. I mean, it's never more true when you're doing custom anything than you get what you pay for.
I mean, that's
just that. You can always get it for less, but you won't get it as good.
Right. You know, exactly.
Just life.
Exactly.
Well, that's really cool. I have to say, like I said, you know, we try to do a little bit of research. Went through your website, crazycustoms.net, and I love everything you've done. Some of what you've done, but I got a couple of pistol slides I might be sending you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about that, Brady. You like the guns, and you might have something you want to send out there because he does really nice work with that.
Oh, we'll be on the phone. There's no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have our federal license, so it's all legal and everything. And
oh, you bet.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Eric Silverio, this is crazycustoms.net, not .com. You'll find him on the line. We're going to have this the link up with our show. We really appreciate you talking with us tonight. Thanks a bunch.
I appreciate it.
Air rock. Air rock. You rock, man. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was nice meeting you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Hey. So you're listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world. A hot rod story you can share with your friends is coming up, and more, of course, on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
This is Mark Mathot from Cartoons Magazine, and you're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much,
for taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for taking you to your therapies, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past? They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
Hi there, it's time for Cars Confidential. Another fabulous story from Lance Lampert from Fender's Friends and Fins. Brady's got some excellent story for you to tell you today.
Oh, I
do. Let her go over there, Brady.
I do. In honor of the fact that the weather, well, not right now, but it's starting to be a situation where we might actually have some cruise-ins. We might actually have a couple of car shows this year. I found a great story from Fender's Fins and Friends. This one's called Drive-In Delight. And I think we certainly have spent some time in the drive-ins. This one goes, last evening, I again experienced one of life's simple pleasures, the local drive-in restaurant. It was a warm summer evening, and I decided to take full advantage of this quickly diminishing circumstance. Combining the setting's warmth and a ride in my 1950 Studebaker Champion seemed like the perfect way to top off my day. Stately Lambert Manor is located about 2 miles from the Seattle landmark, the Holman Road Dick's Drive-In. By the way, you can say Dick's Drive-In in Seattle. You can say a bag of Dick's hamburgers.
Yes, yep.
You can actually say eat a bag of Dick's in Seattle, and it's a compliment,
it is.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
It's true.
Yes,
it's marvelous.
Is.
This popular burger place is always busy. It's always fun. Always the decoration and destination for collector car enthusiasts. It occasionally now looks the same as it did when many of the old cars parked in there were new. The first of several Dick's drive-ins opened in 1954. And I'm sure the various locations have been the brief home to many Studebakers over the years.
My high school. Hey, Brady. Brady, what? Did you know that they have Dick's on wheels now?
I do.
They
it's
have
true.
A Dick's truck.
They have a Dick's foodie truck.
That's right. That's you right.
You can drive a Dick's to almost anywhere.
You could have them come to your wedding or bar mitzvah.
That's right. You could. My high school years were filled with many afternoons and evenings parked at Tacoma's Frisco Freeze, which does not have a food truck. That one opened in 1950. Perry Smith was the guy. Frisco Freeze looks exactly the same as it did when my 54 Oldsmobile leaked oil in the parking lot.
It does.
My favorite burger joint in the past 20 years has been the Triple X Drive-In located in Issaquah, Washington. They have a car show on 25 weekends a year. In fact, probably more than that, and more than one car show on some weekends too. There's no other place in the Northwest that can actually really compare with it when it comes to 50s and 60s memorabilia. The interior is literally overflowing with signs and stuff from the past. embarrassingly huge hamburgers, and the parking lot on a Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon is frequently overflowing with hot rods and customs and classics. Thanks to Jose and Ciso for putting up with all of us over these years, man. He is just an incredible guy. The past few years have been shown that the younger tuner car crowd also kind of appreciates the Triple X's charms.
It's so a living museum, a living museum, living museum of car parts inside the dining area. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
you
for
can't,
sure.
You can't touch a wall without touching something that's 80 years old, 50 it's years real. Old, 10 years old.
You can bring something cool down there.
Yes, he loves like it.
And Jose will hang it up on the wall, sometimes with a label. Much to my surprise, there's a 50 Studebaker pickup parked under the giant Dick's neon sign when Lance pulls into the Dick's restaurant. It's not unusual to find a classic vehicle parked there, but it's rare to find another Studebaker utilizing some of the drive-in's well-traveled asphalt real estate. Sitting in the truck's bed and consuming some fries is a teenager named Jacob. Now, there's two unlikely things happening. First, two 1950 Studebakers parked in the same spot. And second, one of them is owned by a teenager. Most teenagers are driving foreign cars that outperform old Studebakers and are cheaper to drive and operate too. So why did Jacob choose to own a truck that's difficult to drive, expensive to maintain, and likely not to appeal to his peers? I love old trucks, he said. Especially old Studebakers, he said. We introduced ourselves, did the secret Studebaker owner's handshake. He was as surprised as I was that another Studi glowing under the neon sign, and it didn't matter to either of us that I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Well, at least he admits it.
Yes.
Because we all, well, never mind. We shared, Lance and I are really close in age. What mattered is that we shared the traditional American activity of stopping off at the burger joints to show off our cars and enjoy some high cholesterol bliss, admire other cars parked nearby. On this evening, we were joined by a battalion of BMWs piloted by guys about the right age to be Jacob's big brothers. These times are trying for all of us. We should find diversions in all of life's challenges. My recommendation is to jump in your car, new or old, drive to the nearest drive-in and carry on the American tradition of biting a burger or consuming a cone and making new friends and seeing the neon splendor reflected in your antique chrome bumpers. You want fries with that?
I like that. And what's really cool is that my son, my oldest son, he told me that there is a car club that he's kind of not, he's unofficially hangs out with. It's that meets down at the local Dick's down the street here in Linwood. And they've been meeting there all year. They have never stopped. They hang out, they go down, they get the burgers, hang around their cars, and people just hang out, chat. So there's a lot of that still going on, even in the midst of all the craziness.
There's more of it going on even now.
Actually, more of it than ever.
That Facebook is getting absolutely filled with is cruise-ins and car meets. People are doing it more and more. There's several of them that have dates out, you know, outstanding 2, 3, 5 weeks, a couple of months out. And it's kind of coming back. We're kind of coming back. People are realizing you can have a car cruise without calling it a meet.
Exactly.
You can get together with people and, you know, talk about cars without making it a show.
Yep.
You know, the hobby's not going to die.
Nope.
It's just saw quite a few hot rods and rat rods and Lamborghinis and all kinds of Corvettes.
Yeah. I want to see a
Hellcats. While we were down in Las Vegas on the strip, you wouldn't think there was a pandemic down there going on.
No.
I mean, it was going on. I mean, there was people everywhere.
Ron, shh, don't say anything, but there isn't a pandemic going on in a lot of places.
You just came back. I saw your pictures. You guys just,
Fremont Street, don't tell anybody that.
Fremont. We also went downtown. Yeah. It's like, that's where we went to, speaking of drive-ins. Oh man, it's gone.
God,
you go to the
In-N-Out. Gone. The In-N-Out Burger there on the strip. Yes, it was awesome.
Yeah, very
cool.
You went to the Harley Davidson Cafe, I'm assuming.
Yes, I went to the Harley Davidson Cafe. Went to a lot of different places. Went to not the name drop, but the
Did you go to over Hard to the Shelby
Hard Rock? We went to
Shelby.
No, we didn't go to the Shelby place. We went to the Hard Rock. And we also went to Planet Hollywood. Did the Caesar's Palace thing. That was very cool. There's a dragon in there made of rubies. It's just amazing.
Yep.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
And there are people everywhere. And everyone was wearing their masks. You know, you know, most people wearing a mask has a mandate. In the airport, they say it's a federal law. You have to wear your mask in the airport. But they said they could fine you $15,000 if you don't wear your mask in the airport because it's a federal law.
Well, that's a federal.
But if you have asthma, and on the Right to Know Act, you can't tell people what your medical history is. It's all scare tactics, fellas.
It is.
It's horrible.
And you know, the neat thing about that is you didn't see the snow. Where we were at over the weekend, it was nice and snowy. Basically, you guys were gone the same time I was gone with my wife and family. And we were up visiting our friends in Bellingham, really snowy at that time on last Saturday, a couple days ago. And they're flying to Vegas here shortly in the next week or so. And they're going to go down to enjoy the nice, warmer weather, go hiking out there. At the
50
Red
to
Rock.
70 degrees.
That's right. Yeah. And we were down there several years ago to celebrate my wife and I's 25th anniversary in, 30th. So I guess it was only 2 years, 2019. Bottom line is, yeah.
Congratulations.
I know somebody's down in Miami Beach, and to be honest, no one's wearing anything down there, and everybody's nice and wide open. And
they're naked?
So, well, you know what I'm saying. A lot of them had hardly anything on. Yeah. That's true. Right there on the street.
More importantly than the various COVID regulations is the fact that the car community is getting back together, and something that's not going to be weather specific. So we're glad to see it happen. I want to thank Lance for his books. Of course, he's real nice to let us read them. You can get them at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and of course, through the Vintage Vehicle website.
The Nathan Lipinski trivia question is coming up right after these messages. Stick around.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
We'll be back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino.
Big block.
Well, Steve can understand, because he's an El Camino man, but we already know that. Hey, this is Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about upcoming events and the Nathan Lipinski weekly trivia question, which, of course, last week we had a kind of a complicated one, but we got a winner.
No. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Last week's question was, and I kind of clouded it a little bit by the way I phrased it, but I said, what's happening today that might bring back the 55 mile an hour speed limit? And the question was really about, do you remember why we had a 55 mile an hour speed limit in the first place? You remember what year it was?
1973?
74.
It was the Nixon era. Come on. It was the Nixon era.
It was the gas.
74-75 was when we had the 55 mile an hour
speed. It was the gas.
From 75, and it was because of the oil crisis.
That's right. Right.
And the and shortly after that, they came out with I Can't Drive 55, but that's a separate issue. The bottom line is the reason was the oil crisis, and a young lady from Sandy, Oregon, whose name, I'm going to hope I get this right. Her name is Terry Hesselgesser. Terry Hesselgesser.
You're guessing.
No, I'm not. I very carefully. She lives in Sandy, Oregon, and she sent me an email. She said, 55 miles an hour happened because of the oil crisis, and we're facing one again now. Well, she's right, and that's where I was going with this whole thing. What's happening today that might bring back? There's no evidence that they're going to go back to 55, but the same thing is happening today. We're looking at a potential oil crisis. So Terry is going to get her name on the certificate for the HC&R barn find dust thing for this week. Congratulations to Terry. Sandy, Oregon is the home of very smart people. This week's question is a good one. And I'm going to, again, it's kind of a weird way to say it, but I'm going to do it anyway. We got lazier as a culture in 1956. And the proof of that is what automotive accessory?
Oh, I think I know, but I'm not going to say a thing.
You think you know, but yes. Do you? Well, we're going to find out if you think you know. We got lazier in 1956, and the proof of that is what automotive accessory that was introduced in that year. If you know, you can email us at contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. It's all one word. Or you can go to the Facebook page and put in an answer. You can send us an instant messenger. You can send us a pigeon with a note to its leg. You can send up smoke signals. You can throw a rock through the window where Steve is ensconced in the studio. But don't do that because Steve's not a good catch.
No.
But yeah, if you happen to know, you too could get your name on the certificate for the HC&R full color 8x10 barn find dust, which, as we know, you sprinkle it on your car, it wears four times as much because people think you found it in the barn. Steve has used up all the barn find dust now, and
see it's empty.
I need to get some more in there. But you know, Brady, you were talking about 50s, and up at the condo, my wife had brought up a DVD set of like really, really old black and white crime drama, whatever shows from the early 50s. And I was watching one, I forget the name of this thing, but it was a detective. And I'm looking at the cars. I'm like, I don't recognize any. And my wife says, what year is? And I go, I think those are 40s, maybe 50s. I don't know. They had all of them, you know, in a TV
show. You don't
show.
Recognize cars from the 40s and 50s?
Well, yeah. They're brand new, the 50s. And I'm like, because I was born in 59, I don't recognize much of anything pre 55, 56, anything earlier than that, I don't recognize at all. So I'm looking at these cars driving around, and I'm going, these are amazing cars, but what are they? So they didn't have like the big emblems, but anyway, there's our music.
Our music?
Well, thanks to Eric Silverio from CrazyCustoms.net for chatting with us this week. That was very, very cool. Check out his website. You'll like the stuff that he does. Feedback and questions can be sent to our Facebook page, of course. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Rice. And keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. And in honor of my lifelong friend, Mark Perez, who left us last week, I'm adding another closing line. His favorite, drive fast, take risks, cruise on by next week for another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Perfect.